Thank you, everybody. I am a blessed man. It's Pastor Church of Pentecost. I thank you for your love. Sometimes you make it easy. Sometimes you don't. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Lord, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, I just pray that you speak to every heart. I pray, Lord, that you anoint your servant. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to this morning. Doing what it takes to get there. Doing what it takes to get there. I'm going to talk about there. You may be facing a situation. It seems that there is no hope in your situation. You look at your circumstances and you feel that there is no way out. Maybe when you examine your options, you just don't know how you're going to survive. And today I want to encourage you. You see, when we look at the Word of God and we find that there is hope when there seems no hope. Things may appear to be impossible. But folks, I want you to understand today, with God, all things are possible. When we are powerless, we must remember that we serve a God who is all powerful. And even when we don't know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. Amen? Elijah is unknown. He's an unknown at this time, and he is set front and center upon the stage of history. God takes a man who is absolute nobody, and he uses him to shake the throne and the nation of Israel. You see, folks, Israel was in the grip of the pagan worship of the Phoenician god Baal. Baal was the god of fertility, and when the sun rose high into the sky, his followers believed they were seeing his face. And when the thunder roared in the sky, his followers believed they were about to receive the blessings of Baal in the form of rain for the earth. Baal worship was a sensual, wicked orgy of the flesh, and God hated it to its core. When God allowed Elijah to stand before King Ahab and boldly say, "There will be no rain," it was a divine challenge. Ahab's wife, Jezebel, who was promoting Baal worship among the people of Israel. Yet, when this challenge was issued, God was telling Israel, "I will teach you who is really God." God was about, folks, he was about to prove the non-existence of Baal. It is Jehovah, and I will prove, amen, it by the cutting off of the rain. There is nothing you nor your God can do about it. As soon as Elijah stands before the king, he issues God's challenge. Then he is immediately told by God to go and hide himself by the brook Cherith. The word Cherith means to cut down or to cut off. God tells Elijah, that just as quickly as he placed him before men, as quickly as God placed him before a king, he will just as quickly remove him from view. That's how God does things sometimes, isn't it? God will use you in one area in a great way. He'll take you and put you in a hiding for a moment. You see, he will just move him quickly. Elijah is told to go to Cherith. Again, Cherith means to cut off or to cut down. When you look in verse 4, God has plans for Elijah when he gets there. A place of dependence. Where? There. The more Elijah depends upon God, the more he learns to know that God's faithfulness, the more he learns to know the riches and the love and the grace of his God. You see, folks, I do not believe that the miracle of the ravens would have occurred anywhere else but there. Where? Cherith, amen. To enjoy God's provisions, Elijah must be in a place of God's assignment. Folks, it was not left to Elijah. Hear me today. It was not left up to Elijah to choose his hiding place. He must submit to God's choice. Often people wonder why they never feel God's power or they never see any evidence of God's working. It is because they are out of God's purpose and they're not in His will. We say what power Elijah had. And when you think about it, folks, what a mighty man of God. But he had no power in of himself. He was simply there in the place of power. You see, it's a place of dryness. There sometimes can be a place of dryness. See, after being at Cherith for a time, the Bible tells us that the brook dried up. Why does God let our circumstances dry up? Why does God let our sources that we receive from God, the things that God gives us and blesses us, why does God sometimes allow those sources to dry up? A man by the name of F.B. Meyer said he wants to teach us not to trust in his gifts, but to trust in himself. God takes us through a brook drying experience sometimes in life, folks. And it provides a great opportunity to grow in faith, to keep our eyes focused better on God. God is the primary source of our supplies. Bible says all good things come from above. Dryness, folks, can be a place of solitude. Psalms 46 and verse 10 said, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen. C.H. McIntosh said, "Our time of training in secret must far exceed our time in acting in public." You see, folks, God in His power, He was preparing Elijah's heart. Amen. Amen. He was trying to speak to him and help him and bless him. Amen. Another example of God doing things is Moses. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of a desert. David spent much time in a wilderness with sheep. John the Baptist spent time alone in the wilderness. Paul in the Arabian desert. John the Apostle exiled to the Isle of Patmos. There's sometimes God will take you off of the scene of doing things and He'll put you in exile. Amen. He'll put you there. He'll put you there. Elijah is told to go to Zephath, which incidentally is in Jezebel's territory. And God promises Elijah that he has arranged for his needs to be met there. When Elijah arrives at the brook, and when he arrives at the widow's house, he will be there. And when he gets there, He is assured of God's blessings. He's assured of God's provisions. And Elijah and the widow are learning to put their trust in the provider rather than in the provisions. Here he is, Elijah. God sends him to a brook. All of a sudden, God's taking care of him there. He's got ravens feeding him. He's got the water from the brook. Everything he needs is being taken care of. The brook dries up. Now I want you, Elijah, I want you to go to this widow's house. And she's going to take care of you. What God is trying to get them to understand, you need to trust in the provider, not in the provisions. See, oftentimes, folks, we get focused on our provisions. We get focused on our job. We get focused on how much money we make. We get focused on our cars and our places we live and the food and all these kind of things. And we're not focusing on the provider. Elijah and the widow, they're learning to trust in the provider. God sends this prophet to her. And she's looking at this. She goes, this is going to get me and my son through just a short period of time. And when this is done, we're going to die. And all of a sudden, she gets a knock on the door. And it's a prophet said, God sent me here. He said, he's going to take care of us. Make me a cake. What do you mean, make you a cake? This is all we have. Me and my son, this is all we have. We're going to eat this and die. God said, he's going to take care of us. Make me a cake. Are you going to trust in the provision? Or are you going to trust in the provider? Come on. Come on. Let me tell you something this morning, folks. God can use a brook. God can use birds. God can use a poor widow to sustain you. Amen. If you'll just go where God says, if you'll go there, amen. If you'll trust in God and you'll learn to trust in the provider, amen. God will take whatever means he has, amen. Anything that is submitted to him and he'll provide for you. God can use it. And I want to ask you the question today. Are you there? Are you there? You say, where is there, Pastor? Well, for Elijah, there was a brook. For Elijah, there was a widow's house. For Noah, there was an ark. For Daniel, there was a prayer room that led to a lion's den. For the three Hebrew boys, there was a fiery furnace. For Ruth, there was a field owned by Boaz. For David, there was a throne of Israel. For Paul, there was a prison cell. For Jesus Christ, there was a cross. Come on, folks, there is that place in your life that you find where your God has placed you. There. Are you there? Well, I don't like that, Pastor. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the delight, and he delighteth in his ways. There. Is his perfect will for your life. Amen. When you get there, you will know it. Hallelujah. When you aren't there, you will know it also. See, when you get there, there are some things that you will find out about that place. You see, from this great chapter, I want to point out some truth about there. I want to ask you today, are you there? If you aren't, I want to encourage you to find there and get there and stay there. Hallelujah. Look, folks, let's look together what the Bible teaches us about being there. You see, there is a place of promise. God promised Elijah. He said that the ravens would feed him there. By the brook. Elijah is told that a widow from there in Zarephath and has been commanded to sustain him there. Hallelujah. When Elijah went there, as the Lord commanded him to go, he found out that the Lord was true to his word. Amen. And folks, today when you get there, you will discover that God always does what he promises that he will do. is a God who keeps His promises. God is a good God. He is good as His word. Amen. He will keep His promises whether you and I get there or not. But those who have arrived at their there, they are in position to see God do, as He says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. Those who are there, folks, will see more than those who aren't there. Hallelujah. Those who are there are put into a position of dependence upon God that most others, that most others never even experience because they're not there. Folks, when God puts you there, He will take care of you there. Amen. There is a place of provision. When Elijah got there, the ravens flew in right on time every morning. Amen. The ravens flew on time every evening with his meals. You ever wonder where they got the food? Probably Ahab's table. You see, when Elijah arrived at the widow's house, he saw the Lord suspend the very laws of nature. He suspended those laws of nature so He could provide for the needs and for the needs of the widow's family. When you get there, folks, in your own life, you will find that God, that the God who promises is also the God who can bring it to pass. You see, God knows how to meet the needs of His children. Vance Harvner said this, where God guides, God provides, is a well-worn proverb, but gloriously true, folks. God goes ahead of us and He makes all the arrangements, he says. He is responsible for our upkeep when we follow His directions, but He is not responsible for any expenses not included in His schedule. It's one of the things that helped me. My boys used to listen to this little program, and it was about these young kids who were investigators. And one of the things they always said, where God guides, God provides. And when God called me to Cleveland, I believed and trust in God. I said, God called me to Cleveland, He'll take care of me in Cleveland. Amen. He brought me there, folks. Hallelujah. He brought me there, and He's taking care of me there. There is a place of providence. When Elijah arrived there, you see, he was reminded that God is a God who is at work on both ends of time. Before God commanded the prophet to go to Cherith, before He commanded him to go to Zephath, He had already commanded the ravens to take care of him at Cherith. Before He went to Zephath, He already told the widow to take care of him. In other words, before there was a need in Elijah's life, God had already taken care of supplying that need. It was up to Elijah to go there. See, oftentimes, folks, we run into situations and God is trying to take us to there. God is trying to take you to your prayer closet, to that place where you can get a hold of God. And oftentimes we are so focused on the bad situation. You see, folks, Elijah could have just been running just anywhere. Amen. He had Jezebel after him. And he could have went totally out. He could have been like Jonah, go to the opposite direction. He could have. But see, he went there where God told him to go. Amen. Because he went there, God had already taken care of things ahead of time. Amen. I'm telling you, if you will go there, folks, God will take care of you there. You see, whatever your situation is, if you go there, God's already speaking to it. But you got to go there for it to happen. You see, if Elijah wouldn't have went there, like I said before, I'm convinced if he wouldn't have went there, there would have been no reason for the ravens to go there. In other words, before there was a need in Elisha's life, God had already taken care to supply that need. We have to go where God tells us. We have to go do what God tells us. God, how can you take that job from me? You gave me that job. Come on. And we want to get all upset and mad at God. Just go there. Just go there where God tells you to go. He's already got things taken care of. Amen. It might be a scary place that God is telling you to go to, folks, but He's already taken care of it. He's got something already lined up for you. See, you know, when that child is born, oftentimes a lot of parents will give that child something to comfort it, called a little pacifier. Should they still be using that when they're 16 years old? Huh? How about 18? Why? There's times. There's a time for it. Right? You know, you don't want to see them in their high school picture with a pacifier in their mouth. So it comes at a certain time. And then there's a time that you start taking that thing out and start hiding it. And hoping that they won't want it. Right? What you're doing is you're weaning them off. You see, folks, understand something. God gives us certain things sometimes for a certain period of time. And then there's a time that God says, I got something better. But you got to give it to me. And just like that child is, sometimes we say, no. That child don't like it when you take that pacifier from them. They don't like it when you try to wean them off that bottle. Come on. That's theirs. Mine. Liliana's picked that up lately. Mine. She had my reading glasses the other day. My glasses. Yeah, sure. But see, sometimes when God says, here, it's time for me to take that from you. No, you gave it to me. Yeah, He did give it to you. But do you trust Him that He's got something better? Are you at Cherith? And God says, I'll provide for you as long as you're there. You understand what I'm saying here today, folks? God says, it's time to give it to me. I want you to trust in me. I want you to trust in the provider, not in the provision. God's already commanded things to line up just like He did the ravens. He's already commanded things to line up just like He did the widow. But are you going to trust in the provider or your provision? Scary. In other words, there's a need in your life just like it was in Elisha's. God's already taken care of it. He's already got the supplies that you need if you just trust Him. And those who go with God to find they're there soon come to understand, folks, that they are serving a God who is not bound by the limits of time and space. Come on. God, He transcends both. Your tomorrow is His right now. And whatever takes place in your life is the result of His advancing planning. There is no accidents, folks. There is no coincidences. There is just the providence of God working out His plan. And He will be in the lives of His children, folks. If we ever go and hold on, amen, God, it will change us forever. If we go there. If we trust in God. I believe after Elisha spent time at Cherith, after Elijah spent time at the widow's house, he was never the same again. Amen? He watched God do miraculous things, folks. Hallelujah. Why? Because we would be reminded that our needs, whatever they are merely the evidence of God's supply waiting for us. When a need arises in your life, what it arises is my life. If we are there, it's just a means that God has already gotten the check written. See, the situation that we are in is under His perfect control as long as we're there. Amen? God is never surprised. He's never caught off guard. Folks, you'll never see God scratching His head saying, "Well, I sure didn't see that coming." Huh? God never has to be switch over to, "Well, plan A didn't work. I guess I'll go to plan B." God don't need to do that. Amen? Hear me. There is a place of power. You see, because Elijah was there, he got to see the ravens bringing his meat and bread. Huh? I would love to see a raven drop a porterhouse on my window sill. Come on, that would be phenomenal. Huh? Next one, bring me a plate of mashed potatoes and some corn on the side. Man, that's a meal. Elijah got to see the ravens bring his food. He got to see the meal barrel and the cruse of oil supplying the widow. Her son and the prophet, they supplied them for many months. He saw the Lord raise a dead child back to life. Something, by the way, folks, that had never happened before. He got to see the power of God manifest before his very eyes, all because he was there. And when you get there, and when you stay there, folks, you will be in the position to see God's power manifest in your life as well. See, when I hear this story about the cruise of oil and the meal, I think about the time when years ago when my fuel oil tank was empty. See, when I rented the house, they said, "Here's your stick. This is how you know how much is in that tank. Stick it down. When it gets below this mark, you're going to run out." You know, it stayed that mark for several weeks. And I was there, folks. And I was praying, "God, you know I don't have the money to put in this tank. But my fuel oil furnace just kept humming. Until one day, a truck backed up to my house and filled it up. And I didn't call it. I was there." You see, folks, we see things when we're there. We see things when we say, "God, I don't know who else to trust but you. God, you're my provider." Hallelujah. I'm trusting in the provider, not in the provision, because I don't have any provisions. When you get there and you stay there, you will be in the position to see God's power manifest in your life as well. Many people, they live out their entire Christian lives and never experience God's manifest power. Why? Because they never get there. They never get there, folks. Being there will sometimes place you in a situation that is out of your control. And we don't like having things out of our control. But let me remind you, folks, that when life is out of your control, it's well within His hands. Amen? It's well within His hands. And those who are there will experience the power of God. I'm telling you, folks, God wants to take you to a place where you're going to just say, "God, I don't have anything else but you, God. You're the only thing I have. And I know you're in control." Never forget that regardless of what you face, God has the power to take care of the situation. Listen to me. Getting there, it may frighten you because you may think you can't handle life from there. And the fact is that, folks, you're right. Elijah, without God, the Brook of Cherith would have been a place of trouble for him. It was a lonely place. There was nobody else there to talk to. So when you get there, sometimes it's lonely. It's scary. And you're right. But you will never be able to handle it. But God can. Amen? You see, folks, there is a place of protection also. Because of what took place, Elisha was a wanted man. Jezebel was out to kill him. Jezebel was out to do away with him. Ahab, him and Jezebel, they were searching everywhere for this prophet. But I want you to hear today, folks, because Elijah was there. Amen. He was in a place of safety. He was in a divine place of protection. Hallelujah. Why? Because he was there. And I don't care what comes against you in life. It seems like the devil's out there to take you down. Folks, if you'll go there, you're in a place of protection. God will keep you there. Because Elijah was there. He's in that place of safety and protection. Even in Zarephath, Jezebel's backyard, Elijah was there. He was there. He was safe. Why? Because he was there, folks. He was under divine protection. Hallelujah. Folks, the safest place you can be is there. Amen? Hallelujah. Dead center in the Lord's will is where you need to find yourself there. Hallelujah. Why? Nothing can touch you while you are there. You'll be safe in His will. And God knows. He knows how to protect His children. Regardless of what they face in life, folks. Regardless of what this time. Amen. It can be a scary time. See what happens. And everybody's afraid of what's going to take place in a few weeks. In a week or so. But folks, I'm telling you. As long as you are there, you are in the protection of the Almighty God. Some people refuse to trust the Lord. They feel that he's out to hurt them, or that somehow he won't look out after them. But in truth, he can take care of you better than you can take care of yourself. You can trust him. Your best interest is his priority. And there is also a place of privilege. By being there, Elijah learned more about God and his power than he could have anywhere else. Being there was no doubt a hard heart at times. Any step of faith. But it was the best place that he could ever have been. There. Because it afforded him. It afforded him the opportunity to watch God work and to see God do things firsthand. God's path for your life may lead you through some treacherous waters. But folks, until you go with God, and until you watch Him do the impossible things in your life, how will you ever know what He can do for you? Think about it. Until you go with God there, and until God takes care of you there, until God provides for you and protects you and does the miraculous there, you will never know what God can do for you. Mary and Martha, Moses, David, Noah, the disciples in the storm, the three Hebrew boys, Daniel, etc. None of them would have ever known, folks, what God could do unless they had first faced the trials and the faith and stood in there. They stood there where God took care of them. Stand with me today. I ask you, are you there? Have you reached that place in your life where you can honestly say, folks, I am in the will of God. I am where He wants me to be. If you are, let me encourage you to stay in that place. You see, when Elijah arrived at Cherith, the Bible says he dwelt there. When Elijah arrived in that barren place, that place there where God told him to go, he didn't say, go there and leave. He dwelt there. He stayed there until God says, okay, it's time to go on. That word dwelt means to live or set up housekeeping. Elijah went there to stay there until the orders came to go elsewhere. So if you are there, just stay there until God says, okay. But if you have never arrived there, and you know that you are somewhere, somehow missing out on God's best for you because you're not there, I want to invite you to come before the Lord. And I want you to ask God to show you where there is. And when He shows you where there is, get there and stay there. This altar's open for you. If you're not there where you need to be, I want you to come up and say, God, where is there for me? Because I want to go there and I want to stay there until you tell me to go somewhere else. How about it, folks? How about it? Come on, ask God, where is there for me? Do what it takes to get there.